Good morning, and welcome to your WILP wake-up call. I'm Tana Hartman. Our engineer this morning is Dick Paddock, and we are here with the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, Friday morning wake-up call. Our guests this morning are Colette Kaur and Manisha Kapil. They are the authors, editors, along with three of their colleagues, of a book, a remarkable book called Our Voices, First-Person Accounts of Schizophrenia, which was published earlier this year. Voices came, voices went. Scary voices, weird voices, loud voices, still small voices. The voices tell me I'm special. I'm somebody. The voices tell me through the TV to listen. I have a special message for you. The voices came, the voices go, the voices stay. They are slow. They're not my voices, but their voices. I say no. That's from a poem by Angela Stroud, which opens this book. Colette, you were sort of the person who had the idea for this book and seems to have been the driving force, I'm told, behind it. Tell us about what gave you the idea and how you got involved with the book.
I had schizoaffective disorder for 29 years. Actually, we came out with several book ideas. We wanted the women in our group to co-author a book. But that didn't fly. So we recruited people, and the book is by me, Michael Dunn, Manisha Kapil, who is here today, Claudia Moon, and Pickens Miller. And we got together over this book idea that a social worker, Jenny Edwards, chose. Yeah. And actually, the idea came from a book called Shrink Wrap, where they asked 100 questions to professionals, and the book so angered us, we were going to turn the tables and ask the patients the questions about the healthcare professionals. These healthcare professionals, the majority of them did not believe schizophrenia was a genetic biological disorder. Most of them, you know, thought it was environmental. It was a very bland and dry book.
And so you did. You all spent a long time devising these questions, didn't you?
Yeah, we selected 65 questions because we wanted well-balanced. But part of the problem was we're patients, and we didn't have access to people's medical files, nor did we want to. And the majority of the 20 people, the far majority, had schizoaffective disorder. Very few were just plain schizophrenic. Schizoaffective disorders, when you're bipolar and schizophrenic at the same time, or have schizoaffective. Rosalind Carter talks about the stigma taboos.
Uh-huh. That's the former First Lady, Rosalind, right?
Oh, yeah. She's head of mental health at the Carter Center. And she, one of her stigma busters is you shouldn't refer to people as schizophrenics, which is a mistake I just made. They are people who have schizophrenia.
Okay. Yeah, it's easy to do. It's very easy to do, especially in our culture.
Well, we got a letter from her.
Oh, did you?
That she received our book. So
oh, good.
It's pretty exciting.
That is pretty exciting. Yeah. It's a great book, and we'll tell folks later how they can buy the book.
And the Carter Center has a website.
Okay, we'll
but,
give them.
They fight against stigma. But the Carter Center's more internationally political website. So anyway, the five of us got together, and Jenny Edwards and B.B. Smith,
who are social workers
at
UNC.
The Center of Excellence.
Yeah,
it wasn't called them back then, but
This is the new Center of Excellence for Community Mental Health.
Yeah, and we met every month. Since the idea, it was 4 years.
4 years in the making. Wow.
My record since the first meeting, it was 3.5 years.
Oh, okay.
But a long time was formatting it and getting it published.
That
took some time.
So yeah,
we had excellent leadership.
And you all work really well together from everything I've seen and heard. I've been very impressed with how well you coordinated efforts and how well everybody got along. Manisha, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, just real quickly. I really love the fact that we love one another after this book, because it was a bonding experience. It was very important for me, insofar as the bonding, well, more than the bonding experience, but it was a professional enhancement. And so I just feel that I'm absolutely grateful for not only our co-author editors, but also for Jenny and Bibi, because they gave cohesion to my life, and they helped me establish myself in a lot of different ways in my personal life.
Well, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm originally from Madison, Wisconsin, and I went to high school in Evanston, Illinois, and I relocated to the Triangle from Paris, France, where my dad was working. And so part of the reason why I had a psychotic break, unfortunately, is that the repatriation from Paris to Raleigh was particularly difficult. And if it hadn't been for the Alliance Française and for different other organizations, I would have been in really bad shape. But in any event, I had a psychotic break in the year 2001, and my mother committed me to Dorothy Dix Hospital, and then pop goes the weasel, I get this diagnosis, and so that's exactly what happened.
Wow. And how did you get involved with Colette and the book?
We met through the STEP Clinic, which is the Schizophrenia Treatment and Evaluation Program, and I'm thrilled to know her, and I'm thrilled to know her family, and so that's the way that goes. But in any event, I don't know.
Well,
I forgot to say the book is 20 people filled out 20 questionnaires, and it's 20.
How did you pick the questions? What kinds of questions were you looking for? What did you want people to know?
Well, I think that what we did is that we took shrink wrap and we answered the book in terms of the sort of content, because I don't know shrink wrap myself in terms of a book, but we addressed questions of housing, mental health services, the judicial system, and other hard life questions. And that's the essence of the book. And so, one of the things that we did do is that we narrowed it just down to schizophrenia and schizoaffective disorder, but we could have gone to bipolar or whatever else. But we narrowed our range, and we just completely narrowed it.
Yeah, it seems like you would have to. It's such a big, huge subject.
Mm-hmm.
But what were the biggest challenges in the book? Colette, do you want to speak to that?
Writing the book or to people?
Well, putting the book together, bringing this book together. What?
Okay. The questions took us a while, and then we did pilot questionnaires where people filled out sample questionnaires, and the responses we didn't want, we had to go back and change the questions.
What sort of questions?
It's nothing like shrink wrap, because shrink wrap is about their philosophies. Ours are everyday things. The book is divided up into...
it's got 11 chapters. And
yeah, illness and recovery, medication, hospitals, therapies, and clubhouses. I especially like is the mental health professional chapter.
Why?
Because interesting enough, the mental health professionals they like the most are social workers.
Oh, no, that is interesting.
And people at the club near here, Club Nova.
And why is that?
I'm not really sure.
Well, in my experience, they seem to have
a
great deal of empathy and...
Yeah, it's a positive book.
Uh-huh.
And very... we even asked a question about whether or not you've had an argument with a healthcare professional.
Oh.
But the best part about this book is nobody complains.
That's... You know, yes.
If it's a complaint, they just state it as fact.
Okay.
Which is really surprising. Well, we've given them multiple opportunities to complain, but it's the whole book is positive.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. It's like with stigma. Very few people complain. So I think they like the more empathetic. Personally, I think that the problem is they don't like being seen objectively.
Mental health professionals, you think
you
have?
Okay. Residents and attendings.
But
that's my personal opinion.
Okay, so these are residents in psychiatry and the attendings. And
yeah.
Primarily at UNC hospitals you all have worked with, right? Or
yeah.
Are you talking everywhere?
The questions were all about, all we said was healthcare professionals.
And Manisha, you wanted to say something?
Huh? Yeah, about mental health professionals. Well, I don't know what the difference in the training is, but my experience at Dorothea Dix Hospital was very different than it was at UNC Hospital because, number one, they didn't have... Well, I don't know whether I should get into the entrails of this, but I noticed that the people at UNC are about as professional as they go. And so that's why people in Orange County are blessed because they have professionals looking after them. I mean, you won't find a better professional than Barbara Smith, better known as B.B. Smith, or Jennifer Edwards, better known as Jenny, and they're top-notch professionals. I mean, I have absolutely no complaints.
Yes, we've had B.B. on this program
telling
us about that.
Oh,
yes,
neat.
We interviewed her, and she talked about the STEP program, and it does seem to be the new community mental health clinic right here across the street in Carmel Mall. And
oh, that's
yeah,
great.
It's a great place. It's a wonderful opportunity. And you're right, we are blessed here because many, many communities around the state, around the country, don't have anything like this.
And happen. Especially when it comes to the state capital of Raleigh, there is a brand new program of social work at North Carolina State University, and I've had a chance to meet with two of those people, and they have their work cut out for them. Raleigh, as much as I adore the place, it's a bit of a stretch in terms of mental health services, and so I think that in that way, Orange County is blessed.
I've got a complaint.
Okay,
the question is, have you had misunderstandings or conflicts with your mental health care professionals? Explain. Do you see how you have to ask a question, put explain in it?
Right.
Okay, we had a problem with one-word answers, so we went through and changed the questions. One psychiatrist wouldn't give me the medicine I thought I needed, but he did after I cussed him out. one That's woman funny. Wrote, I haven't had a misunderstanding or conflict with anyone on my treatment team in a very long time. When I do, it's usually my social worker who intervenes for me. I guess an official channels person. At least she will define the problem and double check whether or not I am being rational about the conflict. That these people are extremely aware and are always double checking if they're thinking rationally.
That's great. That's wonderful. We will come back to that in just a minute. We need to take a short break and tell folks about our underwriter. Internationalist Books and Community Center is at 405 West Franklin Street here in Chapel Hill. They offer a wide range of books. If they don't have it on their shelves, they'll get it for you. And they host any number of wonderful community events. You can find them, their website at internationalistbooks.org. We also want to say that WCOM, this is the station we're coming to you from, has been on the air for 5 years now. We've got many listeners and supporters in the community, but we're interested in really finding out just how big our audience is. So will you please visit our website at WCOMFM.org and add your name to our listener list. We've got a short survey also on the website. Your feedback will help us better serve the community. Look for the links in the main menu on the left side of the page and stay tuned. WCOM is coming to you from Chapel Hill and Carrboro. We're 103.5 on your FM dial. And we're back now talking with Manisha Kapil and Colette Kaur about the book that they are part of a group that authored and edited, Our Voices, First Person Accounts of Schizophrenia. Colette, you were saying something just before.
Can I say I can't think of better causes than women, peace, and freedom. All three top causes.
Yes, thank you. It's the just about the oldest peace organization in the world. You know, it's founded at the turn of the night.
It's a very real thing.
It really is. And you must know it from Europe, too.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Great. Yes. It's a wonderful organization. And it's not just women, I should say now. We have men, a number of really dynamic men who are
Alan
participating.
Alda?
Dick is one of them. Yes.
You should get Alan Alda. He's into women's causes.
Yeah, that's true. He's wonderful. But... All right, so back to the book. Is there anything else you would like people to know about the book? Or
Well, I think that that I should put a plug in for iUniverse. They are a terrific publisher. They're based out of Bloomington, Indiana, and I couldn't be more impressed with the team that we had. They put together a lovely, lovely, lovely volume here. Also, I'd like to put in a plug for our cover designer, who's Colette Kaur. She's a fabulous artist, and we adore her.
Yes, you're both artists, by the way, and you're both exhibiting right now in the show on the third floor, the Brushes with Life Art Gallery at UNC.
Thank you very much. But in the meantime, the cover design was done by Sean Bogess and Jen Yuzon, and they are both based out of Greensboro, and they did a fabulous, fabulous job. And so if they're listening out there, thanks. Thanks.
In each chapter, we have little fact boxes. I just want to read one. In Alice in Wonderland, written by Lewis Carroll in 1865, the character, the Mad Hatter, is believed to be based on a professional hat maker of the period. He used mercuric nitrate to block felt hats, which induced psychosis.
Oh.
And that's where the term Mad as a Hatter came from.
Yes.
But it's in our stigma chapter. NAMI website, they have what's called Stigma Busters.
Yes.
I like to call it a thump on the head. It's for professionals that have an attitude or socially mess up.
Okay. I'll have to look at that one. I haven't looked at that.
Mental illness.
Speaking of stigma, all right, so you all put this book together in part to wake not just mental health professionals up, but the general community. Is that right?
Yes.
The issue of stigma?
In essence, we let down our guard. Most people with mental illness are incredibly privacy obsessed. But we let down our guard and we published under fake first names for the simple reason that we felt that it would give people privacy, you know, the privacy to just blab.
Right. Okay. And so when you answer the questionnaires or when you're in the book, when you're reading through, there are names like Zelda and Black Madonna, and so people chose their names?
Yeah, they had a lot of fun.
It looks like it.
The only real names are on certain poems, but the poems are mixed real names and other names.
Okay.
The criteria for the poems was different. You could have had be bipolar, and we would have included your poem because people can relate to them.
You wanted to read a poem. Is there a particular poem? Would you like to do that now, or?
Okay. This is all about the hospital.
Okay.
This is by one of our editors. Poem for Progress by Claudia Moon. Imagine robots on skateboards bumping into each other's shadows. It's we I speak of in our appointed hallway for at least 72 hours. Bumping into each other, bumping into each other's shadows. Different diagnosis, the same pathos, a loss of self, the bleeding of boundaries, lips chalky with medication, arms stiff from side effects. There is no value in saying, excuse me, we know. There is no purpose in any collision. Bones and bodies carry the exhaustion of horrifying images, the constraint, the constant strain of words attacking the floors, shifting below with no pattern. Our knocking bones recognize these traits within one another familiar, like blood cousins going into no real direction. We push past each other heading for the same place. I can relate to this because especially robots on skateboards.
How does that speak to you?
There are questionnaires where people felt dead. It's just a feeling you get when you're the illness and being doped up on medication.
Yeah, medications are, they're both a blessing and a problem.
Yeah.
As I understand.
It's just that in terms of medications, they have put me on this drug by the name of Abilify. This is not a plug. This is just a statement of fact. And it costs $14 a pop. And so what I'm grateful for, and it's stated in the book, that I'm grateful for the fact that I'm on Medicaid. And that this is the only way that I can stay stable as far as what their definition of stable means. And so I'm grateful for the fact that that the state of North Carolina and the federal government have been so generous with me. So I just want to thank them.
Okay, well, on the we have a whole chapter on medication.
Uh-huh.
But in almost, there's like one or two, almost every chapter, the major concern is medication. The topic in the chapters aren't medication, but throughout the book, it's vital to these people.
Right.
And in the medication chapter, some of these people self-report that they're on 10 medications at this time. Most of them are, they've tried a lot. Most of most of these people are on numerous, two or more antipsychotics.
Yeah.
And because these are people with schizoaffective disorder and who's been through depression, they're also matched up with antidepressants. So
that becomes a real problem because of the side effects and interactions, drug interactions, right?
Yeah. we couldn't get a pharmaceutical company to fund us because the book is so into medications. But the side effects, we're seeing that the side effects people care about most are the crucial ones, tardive dyskinesia.
Oh, yes.
Which is irreversible. And
explain, tell people, because I don't think many people know what tardive dyskinesia is.
Well, if you're on one of the first generation antipsychotics, there are three generations. Only second generation are available in this country. But the first generation, if you're on it for too long, you your face, your eyes, your body starts twitching. And if they don't take you off, you have it for life. But that's the scary. Other side effects they mentioned that they couldn't tolerate is akinesia. It's a horrible feeling. It's like you're jumping out of your skin.
Yeah.
They're overly concerned with weight gain because the second generation antipsychotics cause extreme weight gain. And these people are very concerned about it.
Well, yeah, I belong to NAMI and am in the family to family program, and I know it's a very common complaint of the families and their worries about their loved ones, you know, who are on these medications because the weight gain, and it also can trigger things like diabetes and severe illnesses related
well,
to that.
Well, my social, B.B. Smith always points out you can get diabetes even if you're not overweight.
Well, it's true, but it being overweight really increases your chances. That's what the doctors tell us, anyway.
Yeah, so. Apparently most of the side effects these people are fine with. So
you think?
Reading the chapter.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some very, very serious side effects. I noticed in this that we're going to have to wrap up in about 3 minutes, but there are a number of issues that are addressed in this. Among them, I mean, not just the physical, but the emotional, the psychological, and Michael Dunn calls attention to, he's a writer and artist who's one of your co-editors, who calls attention to the spiritual issues here, and how big a part does that play? I take that back. Given the time we have left, one of the things that really troubles me is the financial concerns in the system and the cutbacks in the system. Do you all see? Go ahead.
I want to make this point.
Okay.
Yes, a lot of delusions and hallucinations are religious, but the delusions you will have throughout life is based on when you first get ill, what your concerns and how old you were and what you were going socially. And that seems to predetermine your
really?
Hallucinations and delusions for life. I'd like to point out these people were all depressed before their psychotic break. And depressed people get into religion.
Aha. Uh-huh.
I thought I should explain that.
Okay.
So,
all right, thank you.
So, you know, if you get schizophrenia at age 18, it stagnates for life. Your delusions and hallucination will all be centered around what you're doing at 18.
Really? I would like to read more about that.
So that's why the vast majority of hallucinations are and delusions are religious.
Oh, I see.
Because they were depressed and they jumped into religion.
Well, thank you. That would be very interesting to talk about more. We're going to have to wrap up, however. I want to thank both of you, and let's quickly talk about websites. We've got the NAMI website, which is www.nami.org, and you can go to the state website from there. And to order the book, you can order it from iUniverse, www.iUniverse.com. Thank you to Colette Kaur. Oh, yes. Okay, and we need to say psychiatry. www.psychiatry.unc.edu. And, well, www.psychlaws.org to look at laws about affecting mental health. Thank you, and we are listening to WCOMLP, Chapel Hill, and Carrboro. Thanks, and tune in again next week.